You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. Today we're going to do an interview with Bob Miller from BulldogIllustrated.com. Bob, it's good to have you on the podcast, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Can you tell us a little bit about BulldogIllustrated.com?
Sure. Bulldog Illustrated is a fan-based publication. It actually started as a magazine. It is owned and edited by Vance Levy and his wife, Cherie Levy. And basically, in 2010, they teamed up with Leather Helmet Blog, which was a Bulldog fan website, and took off from there. And we cover University of Georgia football and athletics and do a lot of fan photos and events.
Very good. And you mentioned that you were covering a practice this afternoon.
Correct. We cover Bulldog practices and events. They've been, like most teams, they hold practice after classes in the afternoon for about 2 hours. Media gets a little bit of time to watch them.
Okay, very good. Well, looking at the team, how are they looking right now? You know, they're 1-0 now, and they got a new starting quarterback. Kind of
right.
What are you seeing from the team this week?
Well, and that's the big story on this game. You know, heading into the Georgia-Notre Dame game and this season, all the talk was Jacob Eason. Was he going to, you know, how much was he going to be improved over his freshman season? And 8 plays in to the first game, rolling out to his right, going out of bounds, didn't get, it was a late hit, but it wasn't really a hard hit. But he ended up getting injured. What we know is he is out for an unspecified amount of time with a left knee ligament sprain. And now freshman Jake Fromm out of Houston County High School is going to get the nod. A five-star quarterback. And you have to give him all the credit in the world. He came off the bench cold, helped lead Georgia to a 31-10 victory over the Mountaineers. But again, he's a true freshman.
And he was an early enrollee, so you would he have been there for the spring?
Right.
Okay, so that does help him a little bit.
He was there for the spring, so he's got some time. It's not like he's coming in green, but he knows the playbook, doesn't know as much as Eason. But I will say this about Fromm. If anybody is familiar from Notre Dame with former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray,
yes,
he will remind you a lot of Aaron Murray, not only in his size. He's not the tallest quarterback, right around 6 foot, 6 foot one. He's thicker than Murray. He's athletic, but he's very football smart, very intelligent, and he has this it factor, if you want to call it that, about him, where when he's in the huddle, when he's around the team, everybody just lights up. I don't know what you call it, but Murray had that. When he came in, you always felt like was going to lead Georgia, you know, to a win, you know, or a touchdown drive. So, but still, he's going to have to go on the road in Notre Dame, in that historic traditional stadium, and it's going to be a tough road for him.
With Fromm at quarterback, do you expect the offense to be a lot different than if he wouldn't be the starter?
The difference will be in, I think Eason was at a point where offensive coordinator Jim Chaney, head coach Kirby Smart were comfortable with Eason making some calls at the line of scrimmage. With a true freshman in Fromm, I don't think they're going to let him do that. So he's going to have plays coming in from the sideline. You know, there's going to be some scripted plays, I'm sure, to start the game. So that's definitely going to change. I'm not sure how much the playbook he knew last week going into that game. and how much he's going to know compared to Eason as well. So you've got to think that some of the plays are going to be limited, although Kirby Smart in his press conference the other day, post-practice press conference, said the playbook would not be limited with Fromm.
That'd be interesting to see. I know rewatching the game, the announcer did mention that they thought he only knew 50% of the playbook at that time. So,
yeah, I'm not sure if that was true. One thing from coming in from Houston County, one thing that we knew is some people claim he has a photographic memory. I have no way to confirm that or not, but he is very smart. He does have a very good grasp of football and what he needs to do. He's also a film room study junkie. So, you know, it's probably higher than 50%, but I'm not sure he was at the same level as Eason as far as Jim Chaney and Kirby Smart allowing him to make change. In other words, if Notre Dame makes a change on defense, I don't think he's going to be allowed, and I could be wrong, to make a change himself at the line of scrimmage. If there's any change during a play, it's going to come from the sideline.
Yeah, and Notre Dame fans do know a little bit about that. I mean, obviously, 2 years ago, Malik Zaire went
right
down in the first game.
Yeah.
And Brian Kelly is usually better with the first-year starter. And we sometimes say it might be because the plays are still coming in, or that maybe later on in their careers he puts too much on the quarterbacks. But that's just a topic that fans love to talk about.
Yeah.
Looking at the rest of the team, I probably know what you're going to say, but what position group would you say is the strength of this team?
The strength of this team is definitely on offense, the running backs and
okay.
tight ends. On defense, it's that front seven.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about the offense. We know we're going up against some good running backs, and I think the last time Notre Dame played Georgia, wasn't Herschel Walker the running back?
Correct. That was the Sugar Bowl, the national championship game. It was 1980 season, but the January 1st, 81 Sugar Bowl. And Buck Ballew was the quarterback, and I think he went 1-for-13. So what won that game, it was a great game. And what won it was Georgia's running game and defense. And the storyline in this game is not going to be unlike that game 36 years ago, 35 years ago. Georgia is going to have to win, I believe, this game on the strength of their running attack and playing great defense and special teams. And, of course, with everybody knows who Nick Chubb and Sony Michel is. And they also have a talented freshman in DeAndre Swift who came out of Pennsylvania. And of course, it was just against the Mountaineers, but he's one of the more impressive freshman running backs I've seen, not because of what he did as a runner, but he made an outstanding one-handed catch along the sideline, but his blocking, for you don't expect a freshman running back or tailback to be a good blocker, and he was just crushing people, so it was impressive. But can Georgia's offensive line open up running lanes? Because I know that Notre Dame, I know Brian Kelly and his defensive coordinator, they're going to stack the box, try to force that freshman quarterback to throw the ball.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we all expect them to try and do. But watching the Georgia's last game, it seemed they weren't moving the ball until Fromm came in and started making some passes, which
right.
then opened up the running game. So yeah, and I said the tight ends are very experienced. The offensive line, are most of those guys starting for the first year? I mean, is this their first year starting?
Not every one of them. Lamont Galliard, who's the center, has played at left guard, and he switched to center this year. So it's his first time at center, although he has taken a good bit of reps behind last year's Brandon Kublin now. For a couple of years, and left tackle Isaiah Wynn is experienced. He's also had a lot of time at guard, but he's played at tackle as well before, behind last year Tyler Catalina, who is now with the Redskins. Pat Allen, redshirt sophomore at left guard, he's new. Solomon Kindly, freshman at right guard, he got in one play last year, so he's new. And, of course, there's the freshman, Thomas, at right tackle out of Pace Academy, and he is new as well.
And then on the defensive side of the ball, you mentioned the strength being the defensive line. Just tell us a little bit what to expect from that defensive line.
You've got, you know, probably the heart and soul of that defensive line, and this is going to surprise a lot of people, is senior John Atkins. He is an anchor. He's the nose, big guy, you know, over 315, 20 pounds. Senior is experienced. He's not going to flash you with athletic ability like junior Trenton Thompson, but big, strong, just an anchor. And Trenton Thompson, he'll play at defensive tackle and also on the outside at defensive end. Most teams have trouble blocking him one-on-one. You'll expect most teams to double-team him, and that's going to be a key for Notre Dame's defense. Can they block Trenton Thompson with one guy, or are they going to have to double-team him? At the other defensive end spot is going to be junior Jonathan Ledbetter, who's very athletic, extremely good pass rusher. And then you're going to see a lot of pressure come from the outside linebackers, Lorenzo Carter, Devin Bellamy. And holding down the fort in the middle is Roquan Smith, who's on the verge of – he was Georgia's leading tackler last year and is on the verge of really having probably an All-American, All-SEC season. And the other inside linebacker will either be senior Reggie Carter or junior Netrez Patrick, who are also solid.
Is there a heavy rotation in the front seven, or are they pretty much start – okay, heavy rotation?
Yeah, they're – Roquan Smith will stay out there a bunch. He's kind of an every – he is a very much an every down inside linebacker. His athleticism and speed allows him to attack running plays, and he can also drop in coverage and cover running backs and tight ends and even slot receivers. You know, they'll rotate that defensive front a good bit. You'll see freshman Walter Grant come in at outside linebacker in place of Bellamy. You'll see DeAndre Walker come in for Lorenzo Carter. The defensive linemen will get rotated more. They try to keep them fresh. So you've got sophomore Julian Rochester, sophomores Michael Carter, Tyler Clark. You've got junior Daquan Hawkins. They've got a good, solid defensive front. But Notre Dame has that great offensive line that is huge, big, and y'all've got at least two, if not three, future NFL draft picks on that line. So that is going to be the big thing to watch in this game. Is Georgia has several NFL caliber defensive linemen and guys in that front seven going against that great offensive line that the Irish have, and who's going to win out there?
I agree.
I think that's what we've been determined. Yeah.
That's what we've been talking a little bit about on the forums. Is this is the greatest matchup of the game, and who's going to show up, who's going to be the victor. I think that will end up deciding who will win the game, and it'll be exciting to watch.
Cuz see, these teams aren't that very dissimilar to me. They of course Notre Dame's more RPO oriented, run pass option oriented in their rushing attack. Georgia's more traditional pro power style running game, but they both offenses rely on running the ball and wearing teams down. And it's going to be interesting to see. And see, you know, Notre Dame's defense is not that defensive front. Y'all still have some question marks there. Same goes with Georgia's offensive line. So it's, you've got strength on strength and kind of weakness on weakness. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, in the battle of the trenches, which of those groups are going to win out?
Yeah. And looking at the maybe the weakest position on the team, you might say quarterback since that's such a big question, but before the quarterback situation, what would you think would have been the weakest position group on the team?
Weakest position, probably depth in the secondary. Georgia has some excellent seniors in Aaron Davis. Of course, Malcolm Parrish is injured with a broken foot in his bone and probably is not going to be back for at least a couple more weeks. But you got DeAndre Baker, Dominic Sanders. Those are experienced guys. J.R. Reed is a redshirt sophomore transfer. But behind those guys and Tyreek McKee, behind those guys, they're pretty much freshmen. Richard LeCount, all extremely talented, highly rated prospects, but freshmen nonetheless. That's on defense. On offense, probably there's a lot of question marks about this offensive line. Again, it's been a while since Georgia's had depth here. They do have guys that can rotate in, but there's still a lot of questions. This group, most everybody's playing the first time at the position they're in, starting in. And behind them, you've got a bunch of redshirt sophomores, redshirt freshmen, and freshmen that haven't played. Again, talented group, but just how are they going to come together? Are they going to be able to play consistent football series to series?
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, well, we agreed that it'll probably be Juan in the trenches, as we've heard that saying before. But I think that's what the team that can – Notre Dame's offensive line versus Georgia's defensive line is going to be the thing to watch. So going into this game, getting ready for Saturday, do you have a score prediction in mind?
Yeah, I have been we do some podcasts on Bulldog Illustrated from the press box with Murray Poole and Football Forecast with CBS 46 Atlanta, Ella Dorsey, and then owner and editor of Bulldog Illustrated, Vance Levy. I'm sticking with my 23-21 Georgia prediction. I think this is going to be a tough game. It's a hard-fought game. There are some Georgia fans that think Georgia's going to, you know, the Bulldogs are going to go up there and wipe the floor with Notre Dame. And I think they're thinking back to that 2012 national championship game between Notre Dame and Alabama. There's nobody on the Notre Dame team that's left that year. So this is a different team. The O-line for Notre Dame, like we've been talking about, is really good. Wimbush scares me. Georgia traditionally has had trouble containing talented dual-threat running quarterbacks who run RPO. They did better against Appalachian State in game one against Taylor Lamb, but – they also didn't have to face the O-line they're going to have to face, or the size of the receivers that Notre Dame puts out there and tight ends blocking on that outside edge. That's going to be another key matchup is Georgia's outside players, their outside linebackers and defensive backs are going to have to get off the blocks of those tight ends and receivers and contain. Well, we could see something. Georgia could be in for a long day and see something similar to what Wimbush and the Irish did against Temple last week and just roll up the running game.
Yeah.
Do you expect a lot of Georgia fans to make the trip to South Bend?
Oh, yes. I am hearing just, of course, a lot of Southeast Georgia Bulldog fans, and those Bulldog fans in Florida are kind of looking at this scary hurricane out in the Atlantic, Irma, and seeing what it's going to do. But I think most people are still planning to go. But I'm hearing anywhere from 30 to 40,000 Georgia fans are traveling up to the Chicago South Bend area. So you're going to see Georgia represented well. You know, it's a great opportunity. South Bend, Notre Dame, whether you're a fan of the Irish or not, it's just a historic area to – you're talking about college football tradition. It's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. It's a beautiful campus. Mm-hmm. I've never been to a game there, but I've passed through there as a teenager. We used to take trips up to Wisconsin, to Oshkosh, to the world's biggest Experimental Aircraft Association fly-in, and we would always stop in South Bend and Chicago areas. Okay. So there are a lot of fans that are going to be traveling. They're going to be taking in a game at Wrigley Field. I think some are planning on watching the Atlanta Falcons play the Bears on Sunday, as well as, you know, the Georgia Notre Dame game on Saturday.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I'm scared there's going to be a lot of red in that stadium. It it happened 2 years ago with the Texas game, because the price of the tickets in that game and this game is so high that too many Notre Dame fans are willing to let go of their the money talks, and they're willing to let go of their tickets. And I know against Texas there was a lot of orange, and from what I've been hearing, I'm a little worried about that on Saturday. So.
Now, remind me, and forgive me, I did research, but the seating capacity of Notre Dame's home stadium in South Bend escapes me.
They actually just lowered it.
I believe it's 78.
Oh, really?
Right around 78,000 now.
Yeah, it was at 81. It 80 was, to wow. 81 last year, and with the new...
They widened the seats a little bit.
I think they added an inch to each seat, so... Doesn't sound like a lot. Doesn't even sound worth it. But I guess once you take that many seats into consideration, that takes up a couple spots. So,
they actually that in Knoxville at Tennessee Stadium, because you get there, and if you're over 150, 200 pounds, you're in trouble in that stadium.
Yeah,
it's brutal.
That's kind of how it was.
So,
Notre Dame,
it's going to be more than likely a split crowd, almost like at a neutral stadium. Wow.
That's really concerning, because that will definitely affect. It'll definitely affect the game. I mean, because the Georgia players will be able to see that. Notre Dame players, yeah.
Well, it's always kind of been a sore subject. Well, with us younger ones, at least, of the Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame doesn't have the home field advantage that a lot of teams do. They've been doing better in the last couple of years under Brian Kelly, but they just don't have that same advantage, you know. But they did change some things, like I think one of the best things is that the opposing team can't run out of the tunnel. Now they have a narrow little hallway with stairs out of the side of the end zone where the opposing team has to run out. You know, they did some things like that, but before, you know, it was
well, in the video board, well, finally this will be a true test for the video board, how much it can get the crowd involved. Well, yeah.
Right.
Bob, are you coming up for the game?
No, I will be manning the Bulldog Illustrated Home Fires, but we've got a big crew going up. Our sideline guy and photographer, Greg Poole, will be there. Owner Vance Levy and his wife, Cherie, will be traveling. Our Friday morning quarterback crew with Graham Grossclose and Chuck McConnell, and Lindsay and Hannah, they're going to be headed up that way. Murray Poole, who is our press box guy, is going to be there. And I'm trying to think, Ella Dorsey is planning on going. I think she was going to – I don't know if she's got tickets. I think she was either going to try to get some while she was there. I'm trying to think if anybody else from Bulldog Illustrated is going to be there. But we've got a big crew going.
Well,
I hate that I'm not going to go, too, because that's on my bucket list.
Well, I definitely encourage our listeners to check out BulldogIllustrated.com for previews for the upcoming matchup from a Bulldog perspective. If you're trying to see what Georgia fans are thinking about the matchup, check that out. And, Bob, where should people follow you on Twitter?
It's easy. It's Bulldog Bob, and that's dog spelled D-A-W-G underscore capital B, capital I.
All right. There you guys have that. We'll have that linked on our website as well for an easy connection there. Thanks again, Bob, for joining us, and wish you the best of luck keeping the fires warm there at home.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Really enjoyed it, and I think it's going to be a great game.